science. Duties include research, web support, media monitoring, and administrative tasks. Effective skills to carry out these duties include word processing, data entry, electronic communications, online research, and public speaking. Interns will work up to 15 hours per week. Students who wish to obtain course credit will have the wake-up call's full cooperation in meeting institutional requirements. Intern applicants may reply to 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's LIZZ. The wake-up call's 2006 intern program begins May 30th and concludes in September. Time now for another edition of the wake-up call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I sit down here in revolution in the air.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. And the toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920. Did I already say that? WGNU, get up. Get up. Get to me. I'm telling you. I got to say this, and then I'll move on to the real stuff. I'll tell you this, and then I'll move on to the real stuff. If American Idol kicks off Paris, my Paris, if they kick her off before they kick off that clown Taylor, taking to the streets, taking the streets. If I may be the only person out there with my little bullhorn, but I'm taking to the streets. It's Paris doing in the bottom three. I'm taking it to the streets. 4540400 is my phone number. 4546609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 4540400 is the phone number. 4546609 is my fax. Get up. Get up. Get to me. My goodness gracious, we have much to talk about. 4540400 is the phone number. Get to me. All right, now let's get to the stuff that let's get to the stuff that folks are going to respond to. That makes really, and also I do want to say to say this to you to give you a heads up. You don't want to miss Eye on the Lou this morning. You don't want to miss Eye on the Lou this morning. Ooh, I'm telling you, it's like, I don't know, when you lift up a rug, you find a whole lot of stuff you didn't. No. It's like, you know, when you do your spring cleaning or your 2 week cleaning or your heavy duty cleaning. I don't know. I'm not going to try to tell you what my cleaning habits are, but the cleaning that you do when you remove the pillows off your couch and you're like, oh my god. How did all that stuff get down there? How did that fork get down there? When was I eating this? Who was eating this? All that stuff you discover when you pull the pillows off your couch and start cleaning. Well, that's kind of what we're discovering as we're looking at what's going on up in Jefferson City. It's like, dang. I guess that's what happens when you. Yes, the only person, Andre Bocelli, he says, and if you listen to, and TiVo helps with this, because you got to go back and you listen to this stuff, I listen to hear what he said about every singer. The only singer whose voice he said was anything, he said about Taylor. Well, he picked a song that was good for his voice. Kelly's a blonde. She's nice. She seems very pretty. She has a nice voice. He said about the 17-year-old Paris. First, he said, wow, her voice is as big as mine. That's a huge thing for an opera singer to say to a 17-year-old. That's, if he just stopped there, that would have been a huge thing. Her voice fills the room like mine. Like my voice does. Then he says she has an extraordinary voice. An incredible voice. He was shaking. And after she finished singing, he clapped. Bravissimo, he said. And then Paris, okay, y'all. I'm telling you, I'm having my bullhorn. I'm going out on Grand Avenue. How does Paris end up in the bottom two? Next to the Kelly Pickler girl that should have been voted off weeks ago. She confessed to being bad and they still didn't vote her off. Whew. And Simon should apologize to Paris because he was ignorant to her this week. Okay, get off the stage. Get off the stage like she's 7 years old. He should have apologized to her. All right. Allow me my little indulgence. Allow me my little indulgence. My number here is 454-400. My email is revolution@lizbrown.com. And, all right. Carla?
Yeah, Liz. This is about Paris in America now.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, it's the votes that count. Because I call in 469 taxpayers.
Well,
I tell you, I hung on the phone every time I got the business signal. You know, I redial each time I vote. And I got in 469 taxpayers.
Well, Carla, you know I believe in conspiracies, okay?
I see where you're coming from.
And here's the other piece. I think sometimes that folks think that because she did so well that a whole bunch of people are going to call in and it'll be cool. You just can't feel that way. It took Kelly Pickler did a horrible job. She confessed to it, and I'm not mad at her. Bless her heart. She's going to be, this is the best thing that's ever happened to her, and she seems like a really nice girl.
Yeah.
But she has no voice, okay? What she has going for her is that she's cute, she's blonde, and she's a cute little white girl. For marketing in the United States, she's going to be taken care of.
Okay, all right.
Okay, she's going to be taken care of. But the fact that Paris, who is the best singer out there, most talented, if you this way at 17 years old, the world is your oyster.
She comes from a long line of singers.
Yes, she did. Well, so does the brown hair chick, but that doesn't do her any good.
That
is. Okay.
That chick needs to. You know what?
Okay, I don't like her. I don't like her at all. But okay. All right, we're done here now, Carl.
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah.
4-5. Okay, baby, you can talk that. You can talk that sweet smack all you want to. But I saw you with her. Okay, I saw you with her. Puppies don't come out of elephants. If you hear a Republican say, oh, the gas prices are too high, we need to do something about it, give them your hand. Okay? Give them the hand. Because they don't mean it. They ain't trying to fix it. They're not trying to do anything about it. Puppies don't come out of elephants. House and Senate tax writers have been struggling to reach an accord on separate tax bills that were approved last year. What are these tax bills about? Extending tax cuts. But House Republicans have raised strong objections to the Senate-passed provisions that would raise nearly $5 billion in taxes over 5 years, primarily by changing the accounting rules that have allowed oil companies to substantially lower their tax bills. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's kind of like the St. Louis School Board, the superintendent, Craig Williams, pushing out here trying to get a hookup, a $6 million contract through. instead of, I don't know, how about creating a chess program, saying that the kid, they don't have money for a lousy $35,000 a year teacher to teach chess, when chess has been demonstrated and tested and programmed to show that it helps children focus. Greg Williams said, no, we can't afford that. Let's focus on getting this $6 million contract. And it's a contract to pay a contractor to watch over other contractors. Huh? Come on. Just like the Republicans, they are trying to make certain that their tax bill allows the oil companies to keep let's do it this way. The tax bill that would keep $5 billion in taxes from going into our general revenue fund. Can you say Medicaid? Can you say prescription drug covered? Can you say my school needs a new roof? Can you say that people in Louisiana need a new house? Can you say move the trailers that have been destroyed in the dust to Louisiana? These guys are fighting hard. These Republicans in the House are fighting hard to keep in place a protection for the oil industry that will keep $5 billion of our money from us. It's 3 or 4 or 5 words on a piece of paper. That's all they have to do is write it down. You hear what I'm saying? House Majority Leader John Boehner, made it clear yesterday that their leadership would only go so far in pushing an industry enjoying record-breaking profits if that punishment would have broader negative consequences for them. Let me break it down so it stays forever broke. Exxon made $10 billion in corporate profit for the fourth quarter of 2005. Exxon made $36 billion in profit for the entire year. Do you feel me? Do you feel me? $36 billion in profit. And the Republicans are saying, Lord, we've got to protect them. We got to protect them. We got to save and keep them. Save and keep the Republican, the oil profiteers, the oil gougers, the oil thieves, the oil sons of guns. And what does the son of a Bush say? What does he say? He says, we addicted to oil. Ain't that something? The junkie telling us we hooked. Ooh, the junkie telling us that we don't want us hooked on the stuff. These oil profiteers took in over $36 billion in profit off of oil. And we the one that hooked. You know what? Kiss my grits. Kiss my grits. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, the phrase of the day. Can we all say it together? when we ask the question of, or when we hear the smack on more, we're talking about tractors, we're talking about everything that you need for your home, and then some. Get on down to Sears. My name is Liz Brown. When you do, tell them I told you to.
Thursday morning at 9, the wake-up call welcomes Dr. Larry Burns, Director of the Council on Hemispheric Affairs, for a discussion on the recent elections in Peru. The Bush administration wants to set up a free trade agreement with that country, but does not want provisions for labor rights as part of the agreement. The economy is the driving force behind what the voters wanted, and American policies toward Latin and South America have helped to create the hardships in many of those countries. We'll discuss what the outcome in Peru could mean for the entire region Thursday morning at 9 on the Wake Up Call. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. At ConnectCare, we take our commitment seriously. Our connection to the community is not just providing superior specialty care. Our connection is not just providing world-class urgent care at our Smiley Urgent Care Center. Keeping our connection to the community is something we do every single day. From our free clothes closet for our patients, our breast cancer support group, our nationally recognized celebrity senior program, or the fact that we're home to the Ryan White HIV/AIDS program. Keeping connected to the community matters to ConnectCare.
When it rains, all my friends go away. Mommy's scared of the sky.
What's going on in the mind of a child who's lived through a hurricane? A lot. Talk to them. Reassure them. We can help. Call 1-800-789-2647. Trained and caring people are ready to assist you. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Need cash today? Visit mouthcash.com without delay.
Morning, St. Louis, 33 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920. I'm Alan Morton with this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Countdowns. Both directions, Grand and Magnolia and Shaw, is closed due to an earlier four-alarm house fire in a new condo complex. Eastbound 40 at Vandeventer, there's construction work. Two left lanes are closed. Eastbound 44 from Chrysler Element way to Merrimack River Bridge looks good. Northbound 55 at 141 in Lindbergh looks good. Northbound 270 at Gravoy and 44. Traffic is starting to build this hour. Eastbound 70 at K and 79 looks for traffic building there as well. Eastbound 40 from Long Road all the way into Timberlake Manor looks for no problems. Toward northbound 270 from award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
You're tuned in to Rasta Resolutions, the number one radio program in America. King Cezos, Rasta Resolutions comes your way every Saturday night from 10 p.m. to 12. Also on the net, that's www.wgenu.net, Rasta Resolutions.
The This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Tune in weekday afternoons from 2 till 5 on AM 920 WGNU. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA and let's take on the day together.
Looking for time made just for you? Wanting to hear from some young people who are cool and well-informed? Have some questions adults just can't seem to answer? There's a place for you on WGNU Radio. Tune in Sunday nights at 5:30. You'll hear teens talk about stuff teens understand. Find out about the latest in music, sports, and other issues that matter. Finally, a talk show for teens, about teens, by teens on 9:20 a.m. 5:30 Sunday night. Sponsored by the St. Charles Lawanga Center.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. The Wake Up Call is seeking volunteer student interns for media research, publicity, and radio production. Interns will have a chance to develop writing, research, and public relations skills, as well as gain broad knowledge of both corporate and independent media. Educational background should include public administration, journalism, or the social sciences with emphasis on political science. Duties include research, web support, media monitoring, and administrative tasks. Effective skills to carry out these duties include word processing, data entry, electronic communications, online research, and public speaking. Interns will work up to 15 hours per week. Students who wish to obtain course credit will have the Wake Up Call's full cooperation in meeting institutional requirements. Intern applicants may reply to 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's LIZZ. The Wake Up Call's 2006 intern program begins May 30th and concludes in September. Starting your day with information.
454-6609 is the fax. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. My name is Liz Brown. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. My goodness gracious. I don't know. Do you think a lot of people will be watching TV on the day that six retired generals who have called for the resignation of Donald Rumsfeld when they go to Capitol Hill? John Warner has said he would ask his committee to vote on whether to hold a hearing with all six generals. And the theory is out there that they might get a vote, and they might get a yay vote on that. All 11 Democrats on the committee can be expected to vote yes, which means it only takes two of the committee's 13 Republicans to make it happen. Senator Susan Collins and Senator John McCain have been among Rumsfeld's toughest critics, but you know what? John McCain is trying to become the President of the United States. He's going to do a little dance. I would be surprised. I would be very surprised if he agrees to that, because it will be a huge blow. It would be a huge blow to the sitting president, and they've been, you know, they've been doing a little making out lately. Boy George and John McCain, they've been making out a little bit. He's trying to get back in good with him. That's John McCain trying to get back in good with Boy George. So, I would not be surprised if, since, you know, you're trying to get back into a relationship with somebody that you've done wrong. And you know that's a very tenuous place because, you know, there's the trust issue. So you got to really go overboard to prove that you are trustworthy to get back into the graces of somebody that you dogged out. You didn't do right. So that's where John McCain is right now. He's like, ooh, shoot, you know, he's just now starting to trust me. Am I going to do something to make him mad at me again? Yeah, he gonna, and I have ambitions beyond him, but I need him to get to my ambitions. So John McCain is thinking all that through. Do I want to, because he knows the impact of the generals just coming out and saying what they said. And he also can appreciate the fact that if these six generals are allowed to testify in front of God and everybody that Donald Rumsfeld should go, the world will pay particular attention to them. And there will be more weight placed on the man that he's trying to get back in his good graces. Who he is trying to get back into the good graces of. Come on now. Is John McCain going to try to mess up his thing with his tenuous thing with Boy George? Ambitions, we're all ambitions. Come on, he's thinking well beyond that hearing. He's thinking all the way to the White House. Now, I ain't going to try to get George, Boy George. I ain't going to mess up my thing with him. So I would be very, very surprised, ladies and gentlemen, to see Senator McCain, John McCain. I would be very surprised to see him say yes. Stranger things have happened, but I would be surprised. I would be very surprised. Now, there is an email, and if you all want this email to send to your other folks, you can email me for it. There is this email that's going around all about what people should do with these high gas prices, and the gas war idea that will work. So the idea is don't purchase for the rest of the year, don't purchase any gas from me. I will get you this email, and then you send it to 10 more people that you know. All right? We're taking a break. I'll be back.
Because you won't know what you're going to get in. Just a little touch of stock quality.
Again, to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
The is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 to 5 on AM 920 WGNU. Discusses the issues that matter most to you every day. And if you have a relationship problem with a friend, coworker, family member, or yourself, it really matters to me. Call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA. Tune in every Monday through Friday afternoon from 2 until 5 and take on the day with me, Dr. Laura, on AM 920 WGNU.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Woman's Place in Maplewood is presenting a trivia night on Saturday at the gym in the Immaculate Conception Parish. Doors open at 6 and trivia starts at 7. Admission is $12, which includes snacks and soda. For more information or to make a reservation, call 314-966-6084. Something for trivia buffs from Radio Free St. Louis.
Hi, this is Herb Steck. I'm the host of The West Wing right here on WGNU Radio. Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., covering politics here in St. Louis, across the state, in the capital in Jeff City, and on the national level. Call in with your questions, your comments. Drop us an email, WGNU@hotmail.com. We'll be happy to talk about any political subject you want to talk about on Wednesday nights, right here on The West Wing with Herb Steck.
Don't forget.
Materialized. Now it appears that the startup is more linked with getting the large international oil traders to accept euros as the standard. Several major oil-producing countries, such as China, Venezuela, and India, have already expressed support for the idea. American officials say they doubt such a trading operation would have much effect on the American economy, because Iran only has about 5% of the world market, plus the political climate in Iran is highly unstable. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
Need cash today? Visit MouthCash.com without delay.
School, church, civic, and other nonprofit organizations often have tight budgets. At WGNU, we understand that and remind you that we can help. If you know of a nonprofit group that would like WGNU to help promote events and ongoing programs free of charge, just send a fax with all the information to our public service department at area code 314-454-6609. Requests must be submitted 2 weeks in advance of any event. WGNU Radio reserves the right to edit or reject any submission because of time constraints and objectionable or commercial content.
Enter the Phillips 66 Fill Up Your Life giveaway. You could win Honda motorcycles or personal watercrafts or instantly win free quality Pro Clean gasolines. Visit philipyourlife.com today. Life happens between empty and full.
In the great scheme of things, a minute isn't all that much, unless you happen to have a stroke. All of a sudden, those minutes count. Minutes that could mean losing your ability to talk, move, or walk. Which is why, if you can get help in time, your stroke can be treated. The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face. If you experience this, call 911 immediately. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
The Wake Up Call is seeking volunteer student interns for media research, publicity, and radio production. Interns will have a chance to develop writing, research, and public relations skills, as well as gain broad knowledge of both corporate and independent media. Educational background should include public administration, journalism, or the social sciences with emphasis on political science. Duties include research, web support, media monitoring, and administrative tasks. Effective skills to carry out these duties include word processing, data entry, electronic communications, online research, and public speaking. Interns will work up to 15 hours per week. Students who wish to obtain course credit will have the Wake Up Call's full cooperation in meeting institutional requirements.
877-920-WGNU. And don't forget, we have an amazing show coming up in the next hour with Eye on the Blue with Irene J. Smith. Ooh, some breaking news, some amazing stuff that's happening in Jefferson City. I'm telling you, you need to keep the kids home from school for this one. It's just going to be an amazing show. You don't want to miss this information. I think that you're going to hear some, just an outrageous story about what some of our legislators have done up in Jefferson City. It is an outrageous story of betrayal that's gone on in Jefferson City this week. And you don't want to miss Eye on the Loo. And we also have some great word on the street information, too. You do not want to miss Eye on the Loo with Irene J. Smith. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number. Okay. I listen to all kinds of music. I truly do. And I love Neil Young. I absolutely love Neil Young. And now I know why. I mean, I'll say it. I ain't ashamed. I have several of his albums. I love the sound of his voice. In fact, there's a biography that is coming out, a video biography of Neil Young that's coming out at your independent theaters. I haven't had the chance to see it, but the previews I saw for it, it looks very good. But now I know why I love this artist. He's come out with a new album, 9... new songs. Album, what's the name of the album? Living with War. Isn't that something? Let me just share some of the sample titles from the upcoming album, Living with War, from Neil Young. Back in the days of shock and awe, we came to liberate them all. History was the cruel judge of overconfidence. Back in the days of shock and awe. Back in the days of mission accomplished, our chief was landing on the deck. The sun was setting on a golden photo op. Back in the days of mission accomplished. Check this out. Don't need no Madison Avenue war. Don't need more boxes I can't see covered in flags, but I can't see them on TVs. Don't need no more lies from the restless consumer. Don't need no shadow man running the government. Won't need no stinking war. Won't need no haircut. Won't need no shoe shine after the garden is gone. That one's from the song After the Garden. Here's one from the song Looking for a Leader. Looking for a leader to bring our country home, reunite the red for a leader, which comes right after the song Let's Impeach the President. You need to get the album just because it has a title of a song, Let's Impeach the President. And one of the lines in the song Looking for
your leader. Someone walks amongst us. I hope he hears the call. Maybe it's a woman or a black man after all. I like Neil Young. I truly do. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get to me. Okay. Go get your cup of coffee. Go get your donut. Go get your apple. Go get your orange. Go get your babies out of the bed. I on the Lewis coming at you, and we got some amazing stuff. Some stuff that's just going to make you cuss and spit. I'm Liz Brown. It's a wake-up call. Stay with me. Irene J. Smith, Eye on the Lou, is coming at you.
I'm Daria Albinger. A bipartisan Senate panel says FEMA is a disaster, and it's time to give the federal agency that responds to them the heave-ho. ABC's Ann Compton is White House reaction.
So far, the White House says FEMA should remain right where it is. Spokesman Scott McClellan says FEMA has been strengthened as part of the Homeland Security Department. And when the president goes to the region today, he is looking for others who have made a positive impact.
There's no better place to highlight when I voted for them, that they have stepped forward and assumed responsibility for their sovereign nation.
Secretary of State Rice, also on the trip, is on her way to Bulgaria. Another day of deliberations for the jury in the sentencing trial of Zacharias Moussaoui. He'll get the death penalty or life in prison. This is ABC News.
This new Medicare business is pretty confusing to me. I was in Walmart the other day and asked the pharmacist about it. She told me Walmart and Sam's Club pharmacies accept all Medicare plans. I just showed her my Medicare prescription drug card, and she filled all of my prescriptions. No hassle, no problem. It was just that easy. I've got better things to do than deal with confusing prescription details. So from here on in, I'm going to Walmart or Sam's Club Pharmacy for my Medicare prescriptions.
How can students improve their test scores? Well, there's tutoring, cramming, perhaps praying. We suggest throwing a brick at the problem. No, really. Talk to a member of the American Institute of Architects. We can turn piles of bricks into amazing schools, specially designed to inspire and motivate students and to optimize their learning and success. Talk to an AIA architect. And don't wait until the night before the test. AIA. Good design makes a difference. Visit AIA.org.
So how's the air where you live?
150 million people in the United States breathe dangerously polluted air every day. In its latest study on air quality, the American Lung Association found, no surprise, that soot and smog were especially bad in the nation's biggest and oldest cities, including Los Angeles, New York, Washington, D.C., and Cleveland. But, said study director Janice Nolan,
you don't have to be a big city to make the list, unfortunately.
Air pollution is a major aggravating factor for people with asthma, chronic respiratory ailments, heart disease, and diabetes. Luis Giovanni, ABC News, Washington.
Rapper Snoop Dogg spent a night in the dog pound. The hip-hop artist and actor taken to a London police station after he got into a dust-up with British Airways staff at Heathrow Airport. Snoop and his posse were told they couldn't get on a plane to South Africa. They weren't too happy about it. They had the night to think about it in jail. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGSU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Ryansmeyer with your WGNU News update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, a Cape Girardeau Walmart was paralyzed in a car accident and is being sued by Walmart for reimbursement for her health care costs. Debbie's husband, Jim, says his wife personifies Walmart's health care.
Do they need the money that bad? I mean, is what, $14 billion not enough? Got to take it out of my pocket, take it out of her care.
Protesters gathered yesterday in St. Louis and more than 30 other cities to speak out against what they call the Walmart health care crisis. The group says Walmart fails to provide health care for more than half of its workforce, and the cost of that care is being passed on to the taxpayers. Finally, this hour, student loan borrowers are being urged to consolidate before the interest rate increases on July 1st. The student loan interest rate on federal Stafford loans is expected to jump by 40% from the current 4.7%. There have been just over $4 billion worth of student loans taken out in the St. Louis area within the past 3 years. You can call Nelnet at 1-866-4-CONSOL for more information about student loan consolidation. This WGNU News report is brought to you by the Home Depot. Learn how to transform your yard into a work of art at the Home Depot's free do-it-yourself workshops on May 1st. See store for details or visit HomeDepotClinics.com. You can do it. We can help. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Westbound or eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason, as well as eastbound 40 from Brentwood to Hanley. Looking for delays. This hour, westbound 5570 at 64 and Poplar Street Bridge. Looking for slow traffic there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Lacletes Landing. Looking for slow traffic as well. Northbound Route 3. That traffic is starting to build, as well as westbound 64 from Ball Avenue on the PSB. Westbound 70 and 94, look for road construction and right lanes closed. Westbound 270 at New Hall's Ferry and 170, look for slow traffic in pockets. Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes and 79, look for congestion going on there. Northbound 270 from 55 to 44, it is stop and go in pockets this hour. Eastbound 40 at Vandermeer, there's road construction in the left lane is closed and traffic is slow approaching Kings Highway. Northbound 55 at Union and there's an accident there. The left lane is blocked.
Production. Interns will have a chance to develop writing, research, and public relations skills, as well as gain broad knowledge of both corporate and independent media. Educational background should include public administration, journalism, or the social sciences with emphasis on political science. Duties include research, web support, media monitoring, and administrative tasks. Effective skills to carry out these duties include word processing, data entry, electronic communications, online research, and public speaking. Interns will work up to 15 hours per week. Students who wish to obtain course credit will have the wake-up call's full cooperation in meeting institutional requirements. Intern applicants may reply to 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's L-I-Z-Z. The Wake Up Calls 2006 intern program begins May 30th and concludes in September.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Time now for Eye on the Loo. Redistricting, handpicked school board members, up and coming elections, recalls, battles in Jefferson City.
Battles in Jefferson City, indeed. This is Liz Brown, and good morning. It is Eye on the Loo time. I am in the studio with Irene J. Smith. Irene, good morning.
Good morning, Liz, and your listening audience.
How are you?
Waited.
Well, it's going to be all right. What are we going to talk about this morning?
Well, there's a lot of things going on in Jefferson City, but one thing in particular that caught our attention is a bill that was introduced by Representative Rodney Hubbard from the 57th House Bill
1930.
And it was also co-sponsored by Yaphet El-Amin and Rachel Storch.
And let's talk a little bit, before we talk about what the bill says. Can we talk a little bit about how the bill came to be introduced? What were the dynamics behind that?
It's my understanding that the bill was introduced at the request of the mayor's...
Francis Slay. Francis Slay.
The office of the mayor of the city of St. Louis.
Okay.
Lobbyist is Rodney Boyd, and basically the bill was taken to someone who they thought could get it through. And
what we were told was is that it was hand carried to Rodney Hubbard to deliver on this bill.
The bill was then assigned to. And this is a bill that is dealing with taxes. So the way I read the House rules, and I'm not an expert, I'll be first to admit that on the House rules, it seems like that normally perhaps this would be a bill that probably would have went to maybe Ways and Means. I don't know. But at any rate, there is a special committee that has been created, I guess, under the Republicans, that is called the Special Committee on Urban Issues. And this is the one committee that, even though the Democrats are in the
minority,
this committee is chaired by a Democrat. And the Democrat that chairs that committee is Representative Theodore Hoskins, Ted Hoskins, from the 80th District.
A non-city district. He's in the county.
And he's the chair of the committee. Rodney Hubbard from the city, from the 57th, is the co-chair.
Other committees that she's part of, it appears that the bill could have gone to a number of different places with these particular people, but they chose to come through Rodney.
Right.
Okay. All right.
Right.
So, tell us about this bill.
Okay. The bill was introduced on March the 2nd of this year. It was assigned to the Special Committee of Urban Issues. It was heard, and it passed out of committee 8-2.
And can we talk about the lateness of this? Because this is a late request. They're out in, 2 weeks or so?
The 12th of May.
The 12th of May. So the session is over in 12th of May. What did we hear about where this bill originally came from? In terms of, didn't it come out of the, at least weren't we told that it came out of the mouth of Barb Geisman?
Right.
Mm-hmm. That Barb Geisman, after spring break, brought this to Rodney Hubbard.
Okay, that's what was told to us, in addition to the fact that it was basically also being carried by Rodney Boyd, who is the city's lobbyist.
Right. Because it starts in Francis Slay's office, Barb Geisman, then it's given to the lobbyist, and the lobbyist physically hands it off to Rodney. And all with the understanding that we need to get it to the place where we know it's going to be done.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so then it goes to the place where it can get out of committee,
mm-hmm.
and that's the Special Committee on Urban Issues. It comes out of committee on an 8-2 vote.
Mm-hmm.
I do not have a breakdown on what those votes were. Who were the two that voted against it? At committee, according to the summary of the committee version of the bill, the only testimony that was given in favor of the bill was by Representative Hubbard and the office of the mayor. It indicates there was no opposition voice to the committee. And this was,
break that down for folks, Irene. What does that mean?
Okay, what that means is there was no one there to speak in opposition. And perhaps the reason why there was no one there to speak in opposition opposition of this bill is because who knew that it was introduced, other than those of us who talked to folks in Jefferson City, who searched and looked at the website to see what bills have been introduced.
Is fast track a fair way to assess?
I would think so, from what I've seen over the years in terms of legislation. It was introduced on March the 2nd,
mm-hmm.
and here we are, not even at the end of May,
mm-hmm.
and the bill has come out of committee. In fact, it's on the perfection calendar. I'm not sure when it will be reached, but it is on the perfection calendar as of today.
Okay, so it's out of committee. They had a hearing issues. Now, tell us what Rodney Hubbard, what is the nature of the bill that Rodney Hubbard is carrying on behalf of Francis Lay's office?
The nature of the bill is this. Basically, you know, if you're delinquent on your taxes, there's an interest rate that is charged. The present interest rate is 1% per month.
Taxes on what?
On your back taxes on real estate.
Okay.
Your property, your house.
Okay.
Your business. Presently, for the city of St. Louis, that interest rate is 1% a month with a maximum of up to 10% or the prime rate.
Mm-hmm.
What this bill does is increase it from 1% to 2% and increases the maximum to 18% and removes the prime rate cap.
So we're talking about almost a trebling of the interest rate that can be charged for delinquent taxes.
Exactly.
And this is, Irene, when you and I were hearing about this, when we were researching this, you don't cuss, I do. So it was just overwhelming, the ramifications of a piece of legislation like this. Why is it such a big deal that now people are going to be charged, can be charged 18% on delinquent taxes on their property? Who's at risk with something like this?
I'm going to tell you who's at risk. Now, on its face, people will say, and I think we need to say what the proponents would say. They would say, no, this is a measure that will increase revenue for the city of St. Louis in terms of the fiscal note. They're saying this would bring in between $1 million and $1.5 million additional dollars in the city of St. Louis. Now, for me, someone who has watched the tax sales for years, and particularly the impact on individuals who are on fixed income and the seniors, this has a very devastating effect, because I believe behind this bill is the strategy of taking people's property quicker.
Yesterday, the word that kept coming out of your mouth as we were talking about this and we were working through this, eminent domain, eminent domain, eminent domain. Why were you saying that yesterday?
I was saying that because, number one, when I was saying eminent domain, we're looking for ways to take people's property
easier.
Mm-hmm. Now, keep in mind, I understand if you are behind on your taxes, you know, 3 years behind, then the collective revenue can have your property foreclosed on for those back taxes. And we understand that. But the reality of the situation is, coming from me, someone asked me, well, why would they do it? Now, you know, maybe on this face they just brought up the argument that this is going to bring in more money to the city of St. Louis. But to me, the analysis goes this way in my head. You either don't care about the impact of the bill,
mm-hmm.
you don't don't fully understand the impact of the bill, or understanding the impact of the bill and the competing values in terms of, on the one hand, possibly bringing in more money to the city, and on the other hand, the adverse impact this will have on seniors and those on fixed incomes, then you make the decision to take the role that the mayor's office is pushing and put the tax in place. Now, they will tell you that, oh, this brings us into play with the rest of the state.
And here's something. I'm looking at one of the representatives on this committee, a Republican by the name of Kathleen Fair. She's out of Webster Groves. And I got to ask myself, you know, do you think Kathleen Fairs would have carried a bill that would have raised property taxes, raised taxes on a home, put this kind of onus problem on a home without at least talking to her citizens about it before she did anything like that? And I got to ask this question too. Do you think Kathleen Fairs would have introduced a bill like this that would have impacted Webster Groves like this during an election year? During her own election year, is there any elected official out there that would do something like this during their election year? Yaphet Melamine is up for election, and Rodney Hubbard is up for re-election. You run for election, you won an office, would you have ever introduced, well, I know you wouldn't have introduced it to begin with, but a tax type of a thing, a penalty type of a thing on people's property during an election year?
That I don't understand. And also, we did not mention that Tom Villa is also a sponsor on this legislation.
And Rachel Storch.
And Rachel Storch is also a co-sponsor of this legislation. And as I said, what I don't understand is what is going into the thinking with some legislation as important as this. And perhaps these legislators have not looked at the tax rolls and looked at the number of property in North St. Louis that is up for tax sales or up for foreclosure on particular years, like two Tuesdays ago. They were advertising, and it just so happens, I guess, the area that they were covering pretty much covered South St. Louis. But a lot of times, you lose property quicker, faster, and easier. And what's problematic for me, Liz.
Hold that thought, because I want to get to a call here before we get to the break, because we ain't done with this conversation here. Yes, you're on Eye on the Loop.
Hey, this is Leslie Farr. I didn't know about this bill, but I am right now going through St. Charles on my way to Jefferson City, and I will sit with Rodney and talk to him about this and a couple of other folks. I agree with you guys. It's eminent domain. In fact, the meeting that I'm going to this morning is on eminent domain. And I'm meeting with someone from the governor's office. I agree. And I think it's rather rad. I can think of other words to use, but for the mayor's office to do this, we know that eminent domain is a problem. They're taking people's property who haven't own very much, and they're trying to do what they want with it. And I live in a ward, of course, that's just ripe with eminent domain.
All right, thank you so much.
All right,
Len, let us know what happened.
All right,
and that's the thing. It's a sneaky way, because we have to start at the head. This came out of Slay's office. This is end of the year legislation. And the theory is what? Okay, end of the year. What happens at the end of the year?
There's so much stuff going on that we can ease squeeze this through. And the fact of the matter is this, and you know, Liz, I'm one who I love to give people the benefit of the doubt. But what is troubling for me with this is the sponsors and co-sponsors of this legislation, and particularly our folk, mm-hmm. okay? If you don't understand the impact, you know, I'm going to give you the bit. Maybe you didn't even think about the impact of it. But if you didn't understand and analyzing this legislation, the impact that this would have on seniors and those on fixed income, then that's something that that's lacking there.
And here's my point, and we got to go to break. If you're running for job promotion, if you're running for re-election, and you have this piece of legislation in your hand, and you didn't understand it, then you shouldn't get a new job. You should not get a new job if you didn't understand this. You can give folks the benefit of the doubt. I want to say it's your job to know this, and shame on you if you don't know it, if you didn't know it, if you didn't read it, and why on earth should anybody give you a job promotion or re-up on your job if you didn't know this? And we got to take a break. This is I on the Lou. Stay with us. You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union? That's 3425 Union. Sears. Where else? Where else are you going to get your washers, your dryers, your refrigerators, your stoves, your big screen television, your tractors, your...
Thursday morning at 9, the wake-up call welcomes Dr. Larry Burns, Director of the Council on Hemispheric Affairs, for a discussion on the recent elections in Peru. The Bush administration wants to set up a free trade agreement with that country, but does not want provisions for labor rights as part of the agreement. The economy is the driving force behind what the voters wanted, and American policies toward Latin and South America have helped to create the hardships in many of those countries. We'll discuss what the outcome in Peru could mean for the entire region Thursday morning at 9 on the Wake Up Call.
Need cash today? Visit MelfCash.com without delay.
Good morning, St. Louis. 34 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920. Our morning. Look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by CalTab. C-Spot 44 at Chrysler and Merrimack River Bridge. Look for no problems at war. C-Spot 44 at Antire Construction has two right lanes closed and the exit lane ramp is also closed. Traffic is back up about a half mile down. Construction zone. Eastbound 40 at Vanderbilt. There's construction there. Left lane is closed. Expect slow traffic approaching Kings Highway. Eastbound 70 from TR Hughes all the way 79. Look for slow traffic. Westbound 270 at Newhall Ferry and 170. Look for slow traffic in pockets. Eastbound 40 from 141 to Mason. Look for slight delays. Eastbound 40 from Redwood and Hanley. Look for slight delays there as well. Eastbound 70 from 270 to St. Charles Rock Road. Slow traffic in all your approaches onto the Poplar Street Bridge and onto the King Bridge. Look for delays there as well. Page at 270. There's an accident. The center lane is blocked. And Grand at Forest Park Parkway. Look for a disabled vehicle blocking some traffic lanes. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by AccountTemps, providing highly skilled financial temporary professionals for over 58 years. Call or visit them today at AccountTemps.com. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Sunny today, high around 70.
Friday, partly sunny in the morning, mostly cloudy throughout the day with a high in the lower 70s, and then Saturday, showers and thunderstorms likely with a high in the mid-60s. Currently, we have 46 degrees under clear skies. Lambert Field is reporting 46 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call and Eye on Lou with Irene J. Smith. That's up next. Let's take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Need cash?
More calls at this time, please. Thank you.
The fight against arthritis isn't a walk in the park, but it's a start. Arthritis affects 66 million adults.
And 300,000 kids, like me. I'm Patrick, and I have juvenile arthritis. Walking for me can be a struggle, but I don't have to walk alone.
Join our arthritis walk team in your community today to help the Arthritis Foundation improve lives and find a cure. For more information, visit arthritis.org.
The Wake Up Call is seeking volunteer student interns for media research, publicity, and radio production. Interns will have a chance to develop writing, research, and public relations skills, as well as gain broad knowledge of both corporate and independent media. Educational background should include public administration, journalism, or the social sciences with emphasis on political science. Duties include research, web support, media monitoring, and administrative tasks. Effective skills to carry out these duties include word processing, data entry, electronic communications, online research, and public speaking. Interns will work up to 15 hours per week. Students who wish to obtain course credit will have the Wake Up Call's full cooperation in meeting institutional requirements. Intern applicants may reply to 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's L-I-Z-Z. The Wake Up Call's 2006 intern program begins May 30th and concludes in September.
Don't forget, MELSCASH.com.
The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back to Eye on the Lou, Eye on the Lou. I'm here with Irene J. Smith. My name is Liz Brown. Irene, welcome back. We're talking about this amazing tax increase, eminent domain, bad, poorly thought out bill introduced by Rodney Hubbard and Ted Hoskins and
Rodney Hubbard, Yaphet Aminu, Villa, and Rachel Storch.
Okay. Now, what I think is interesting, I want to talk about Rachel Storch for a minute, because it's just foul that she would have her name on a bill like this, because I remember being at one event where she came. It was in the 26th Ward, and when she was running for office to begin with, for the first time, and she talked about how her connection with black people, that her mother had a black housekeeper, and how important it was to recognize where people were coming from and to keep people safe. And she talked about her connection on an emotional level with the
August the 28th, 2006.
And the other piece of this is that I'm looking at people that are coming to their community. I'm looking at people that are running for office. You're looking at Yaphet Aminu, who wants to be a state senator. We're looking at Rodney Hubbard, who wants to keep his job as a state representative.
the reason why I feel that it is so important to bring these issues to people is so that nobody is telling you what your legislators are doing up there. You wouldn't know about it if we weren't talking about it right now. And I feel often, Irene, that they think that they can do things because we don't see what they're doing. They'll slip things in, and then, you know, it's already done. How do you unring the bell once something is done? So that's why it is so important for people to hear this information and to know what their legislators are doing and weigh in on it. If you're cool with this, then that's fine. I'm not. I think it's a problem. I think it's a hurtful thing, and I think that it's another way, regardless of what you call it, regardless of the name of it, it can take away people's property in an easier way. And that's not right.
Mm-hmm. And I guess what's problematic for me, Liz, is because since you have this special committee that's going to deal with urban issues, there are so many issues in our community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the issue of local control of the police department.
That issue hasn't been carried out.
That issue, I mean, I don't see a bill that has been introduced by any of our legislators.
Or even out of the urban issues.
That's what I'm talking about. That would go to urban issues.
Mm-hmm.
The issues of where you have all of these tips and things going on, and you have what they call inclusive zoning, where a part of it would automatically go to low and moderate income people. A portion of the houses or whatever would be set aside so that individuals, so it could be a mixed income, so people wouldn't be priced out. I don't see any of that. But then I talk to legislators in Jefferson City, and then we're looking on the net getting additional information, and we find out about this House Bill 1930. It's problematic for me. It's troubling for me, very troubling for me, because I have had to take seniors down to the collector revenue's office. And Ron Leggett, I have to, you know, people can say a lot of things about him, but one of the things that he did do is that he worked with people trying to make sure that they kept their houses. You know, he would give them a payment plan, you know, sometimes over and over. People would get sick.
And let's talk about the fixed income piece of this, too, because that's another issue of it. You have to take in consideration that our seniors are on fixed incomes, okay? Sometimes they get behind. On a fixed income, you would never be able to get out of this hole that would be dug if you get behind in your taxes. And if you're going to do something, I don't see any correspondence.
Well, we'll give no promotion. Alan Lewis appreciated.
All right.
Somebody certainly underestimated our clarion call, didn't they?
There you go, Dee.
We're going to handle them.
All right, Dee. Listen, folks, this is the Eye on the Lou. I'm here. I'm Liz Brown with Irene J. Smith. We're taking a break. We'll be back. Stay with us. Oh, Lord, we need another hour. We need another hour. Stay with us.
Again, to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. The recent hailstorm may have caused damage to your roof, but beware. When these types of events happen, people called storm chasers appear out of the blue and offer to do the work, but then disappear with your money and only half do the job. Phil Person of Phil Person Roofing reminds you he will be here to serve you long after the storm chasers have come and gone. Person Roofing is a licensed and certified contractor specializing in roof replacements and repairs, and replaces from 200 to 400 roofs a year. Phil Person Roofing, in business 16 years, 361-7127.
Hi, this is Brett Rosen with Head Thumping Talk Radio and WGNU. Just letting you know that we are moving to a new time from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. every Thursday morning, dedicated to making you mad or making you think since 1999. Watching everything the
engineer would move. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline Baghdad. Three Iraqi officers have been placed under arrest for removing munitions weaponry and selling or giving them to insurgent operations who took them to make improvised explosive devices. The munitions depot at Badush was set up by Saddam Hussein during his rule and is where the missing ordnance apparently came from. American intelligence became concerned that the insurgents seemed to be having an unending supply of artillery shells and other types of explosives, and the suspicions that they were being stolen from government supplies caused a strain between Iraqi and American commanders in the northeastern part of the country. Those suspicions were confirmed when several soldiers in the 3rd Iraqi Army Division turned in their commanding officers. And Dateline New Orleans. Although we are on the cusp of another hurricane season, the Army Corps of Engineers here on WGNU, District Superintendent John Watson invites you to lift your spirit with prayer, preaching, teaching, and singing live from the sanctuary of Maple Temple, 5159 Maple Avenue. Catch the Maple Temple radio broadcast Sunday nights at 8 o'clock here on your weekend gospel voice of choice, AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, this is Judy Moskov. Join me for a gardener's notebook every Monday at noon. We'll be talking with gardening experts and sharing information that you need to know. Get the latest dirt on everything from tomatoes to trees. That's a gardener's notebook every Monday at noon.
The Dimensions Dance Center presents a benefit concert at Wide Down School on Saturday at 7 p.m. The center will showcase a wide variety of dance styles with pieces from all five resident companies. Tickets are $5 to $10, and sales will help finance studio programs such as the Scholarship Fund and outreach efforts. To find out more, call 314-997-7837. News to you from WGNU.
The Wake Up Call is seeking volunteer student interns for media research, publicity, and radio production. Interns will have a chance to develop writing, research, and public relations skills, as well as gain broad knowledge of both corporate and independent media. Educational background should include public administration, journalism, or the social sciences with emphasis on political science. Duties include research, web support, media monitoring, and administrative tasks. Effective skills to carry out these duties include word processing, data entry, electronic communications, online research, and public speaking. Interns will work up to 15 hours per week. Students who wish to obtain course credit will have the Wake Up Call's full cooperation in meeting institutional requirements. Intern applicants may reply to 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's L-I-Z-Z. The Wake Up Call's 2006 intern program begins May 30th and concludes in September.
is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Frank.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to Eye on the Lou. I'm here with Irene J. Smith. And Irene, the one thing that we need to get to quickly is that the response that Rodney got when he took this bill to his other legislators, he was not met with a, it wasn't warm and fuzzy.
No, it wasn't. It's our understanding.
Incompetent that someone would think that they would be able to bully up on people. You couldn't even keep your job as the vice chair of the Black Caucus. You know, I mean, he couldn't bully his way into that. What makes him think that he can do that? And so he was met with a resounding no. And again, Rachel Storch was on this too. Tom Villa is on this too. Y'all need to know about your legislators that are trying to push something like this, this attempted eminent domain of your property like this. You need to know what your legislators are doing. And if that's why you sent them there, then again, God bless you. You know, God bless you. Earl.
Yeah, how you doing, Liz? Irene, that's all it is, Liz. It's eminent domain. Why would you make it hard? If a person is going through hardship and having a problem in paying their taxes, why would you make it even harder for them to pay them? That's all it would do if you double it, the interest rate. They can't pay what they owe now. How are they going to come up with the extra funds to pay it?
It's an easier way to snatch people's property.
That's all it is.
And thank you very much. And Earl, in these hard times, Irene, this is cruel. This is absolutely cruel.
And you got to couple this. You know, you got to compare this to the situation of why we're doing a lot of tax abatement. We're doing a lot of tips.
Okay.
In the city of St. Louis. And while we're doing this, on the other hand, you're trying to put an increased burden on individuals who are behind in their taxes.
And let's break it down. Tax abatement and tips. Who does that help?
That helps the wealthy.
That's right. It helps the
big developers for the most part, because at this point, our legislators, and I would encourage them to read Covenant with Black America, because you might get some ideas on some legislation that could be used to benefit our community relative to tips and relative to inclusionary zoning. And that's another discussion. But the thing that is troubling for me is that, as I said before, either you don't care,
mm-hmm.
either you don't know, either you understand the competing interests on the one hand, what the, you know, just taking it on its face that this is going to increase revenue for the city, and you know about the impact it will have on those who are on fixed incomes, on senior citizens, and you make the decision because the mayor's office brought you this piece of legislation and you want to do something to help the mayor, you make the decision, well, helping the mayor and, you know, supposedly bringing in this additional $1 million to $1.5 million is much more important than the adverse impact this will have mm-hmm. on seniors mm-hmm. and on individuals on fixed incomes.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's problematic.
It's hugely problematic, to say the least. Marty.
Yeah, good morning, Liz. This is just like any other land grab situation.
That's my fact. How many more? What's our time here? Okay, let's do a little. What do we do?
The word on the street.
Word on the street. That's what we
said. She said.
That's what we get ready to do. Word on the street. Word on the street. You know what I heard, Irene J. Smith?
What'd you hear, Liz?
know what I heard? Word on the street. I heard that despite the election results for the St. Louis Public Schools, where Donna Jones and Peter Downs, the people's candidates, were elected and control was taken out of the hands of Slay, numerically on the board, it is my understanding, a word on the street is that Craig, C-R-E-G Williams, Mr. $300,000 a year, $25,000 a month, he'd been kicking it by going down to and meeting that Darnetta Klingstel Shamo, and I gave her the right name because he's been going down and kicking it with Vince Shamo too, hanging out with them. And the question, of course, comes if Craig Williams is still meeting with the ousted members of the school board, who's still trying to control this school board?
Slay. Yeah.
You have an announcement? You have something
yeah,
to share
do.
With us?
We do. The first ward residents, this month, next month, May and June, automatic ward meeting will have to be rescheduled because there are going to be some great activities going on at United House of Prayer with the bishop coming in, big parade. So stay tuned. We will be announcing the new location for the ward meeting for May and June.
And quickly, our what we found in our book. You want to share that with
us? Oh, yeah.
Okay. How much time do we have?
We got a little bit.
Share it.
He who puts himself outside the community in one way or another forfeits his human quality and becomes a sort of reincarnated evil spirit, banned and feared by all. And this is from Origins, African Wisdom of Every Day, and Sadhu Dandini. Think about that in terms of this legislation.
And where did you get that?
I got it from a book that someone gave me. That someone was Elizabeth Brown. And it's a very, I love it. It's a nice devotion.
Thank you, Irene J. Smith. We'll be back same time, same place next week. Irene, thank you.
You're welcome. Not enough.
Issues that matter most. It's AM 920.
Is not going to allow anyone to succeed.
Brown and others say FEMA should be pulled out from under the Homeland Security Department and given independence. But the Senate report calls for keeping a new disaster agency right where it is. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, New Orleans.
So how will Tony Snow do as White House Press Secretary, ABC News Senior Washington correspondent George Stephanopoulos, who once had the job, has a little advice for him.
The good press secretary has to be a double agent, has to have all of the trust of the president and the White House staff, but also has to earn the trust of the press corps, and it's a very difficult balancing act.
This is ABC News.
My top three reasons for getting a new ceiling fan. Number three, I could use a breeze in my living room. Number two, I can save on my energy bill. And my number one reason, now I can dress up my ceiling for less.
The Home Depot is giving you a good reason to decorate your ceiling. Right now, save 20% on all ceiling fans from brands like Hampton Bay and Hunter. 20% on all landscape lighting. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Offer valid through 4/30/06 in U.S. Home Depot stores only. See store for details.
If you're an adult age 65 and up, you've probably heard about the new prescription drug benefits available to you with the new Medicare Part D. You've probably also got a lot of questions. Your Save-On and Osco pharmacists have access to internet tools to help you identify plan options that cover your current medications. Enrollment period ends May 15th, 2006. So come in today and ask the questions you need to decide which Part D prescription plan is best for you. Your trusted partners in health, Save-On and Osco Pharmacists. pharmacies.
At least one Mexican family is worried how immigration reform the U.S. is considering will affect it. ABC's Donna Rapado talked to them in Mexico City.
Leonardo Lopez earns $11 an hour as a construction worker in Houston. He got there by crossing the border illegally 7 years ago, a risk he took so he could help his children pay the rent and put food on the table. But he's returned to Mexico because of his ailing elderly mother, and he will risk going back to the States again this weekend. Leonardo says it's worth it. Look how we live here. Mexico doesn't give us the same results as the U.S. That is a country of abundance. It's a country where you can find a lot of work. Lopez says he hopes U.S. lawmakers will approve a worker's permit for immigrants who want to work hard and even pay taxes. Donna Rapado, ABC News, Mexico City.
What are you doing with your income tax refund? Chances are you'll use at least part of it to pay down your debt. A survey by America's Research Group says
contract offer on controllers. Rosenthal says Lambert Airport stands to lose 35 of its 80 controllers if this legislation is not passed. St. Louis County health officials will kick off an immunization program in Wellston today. The Healthy Town program will offer free immunizations this spring and summer to Wellston children age 6 and younger. The goal of the program is to immunize every preschool child in Wellston, where about 30% of children are currently not receiving the vaccines they need. Healthy Town launches this afternoon at Eskridge High School. Finally this hour, Wentzville Middle School students are trying to improve the water quality at one local creek. Students tested the water quality at Peru Creek and found that there were some problems due to nearby construction and runoff. Student Danielle Promaroli says that they hope people will take note of their findings.
We do point out what needs to be done that is affecting the creek, but I'm not sure anybody fully listens to it.
Promaroli says it is great to get out of the classroom and learn firsthand what they are being taught in the classroom. The water testing was done through the Earth for Screen program. This WGNU News report is brought to you by Six Flags St. Louis. Six Flags St. Louis celebrates 45 years with its largest expansion ever, and season passes are on sale at all Schnucks locations. Purchase and use your season pass by May 7th and get a bonus free friend visit. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock today at 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Concepts. Southbound 270 at Marshall and 44, there's an accident. Right lanes are blocked, and traffic is back up into the right lanes at Big Bend. Northbound 55 at Green Park, looking for a disabled vehicle. Left lane is blocked. Traffic is flowing through Lindbergh. Grand has closed at Shenandoah and Magnolia due to an earlier 4-alarm fire at a condo complex. Westbound 44 at Antire, the construction, two right lanes are closed. Eastbound 44 at Mraz Overpass and Merrimack River Bridge for slow traffic. Northbound sunny in the morning on Friday, then becoming mostly cloudy throughout the day with a high in the lower 70s. And on Saturday, showers and thunderstorms are likely with a high in the mid-60s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 47 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 48, both under clear skies. Stay tuned now for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your new or your traffic and your weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
The Wake Up Call is seeking volunteer student interns for media research, publicity, and radio production. Interns will have a chance to develop writing, research, and public relations skills, as well as gain broad knowledge of both corporate and independent media. Educational background should include public administration, journalism, or the social sciences with emphasis on political science. Duties include research, web support, media monitoring, and administrative tasks. Effective skills to carry out these duties include word processing, data entry, electronic communications, online research, and public speaking. Interns will work up to 15 hours per week. Students who wish to obtain course credit will have the Wake Up Call's full cooperation in meeting institutional requirements. Intern applicants may reply to 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's L-I-Z-Z. The Wake Up Call's 2006 intern program begins May 30th and concludes in September.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back. My name is Liz Brown, and because it is Thursday at 8 o'clock, it is Justice for Reggie Thursday, where my guest tonight, Jamala Rogers, who is the campaign coordinator for the Justice for Reggie campaign, where we talk about the impact of the death penalty and its ramifications, the death penalty and what you need to know about it and how it impacts on so much, so many of our lives. And, of course, good morning, Jamala Rogers.
Good morning. I'm always pumped up when I come here because I've listened to the previous hour, so it's
like,
I want to talk about something, but I know this is the hour that we really need to be talking about Reggie Clemens and all that is encompassed in that campaign. But, you know, as I was driving over, you can't help but understand as an organizer how these other issues impact
and are connected.
Your
ability to organize and lift up this issue among all the other competing issues. So it and they are connected. Mm-hmm. And
so you're talking about the legislators and what they're doing and what they're not doing.
Exactly, because if you have to worry about bread and butter issues, even though for me those are social justice issues because mm-hmm. they're connected up with people's basic human rights being denied. To start looking at outside of my house, what things can I support? It is like a challenge. Mm-hmm. And so I just think that when we deliberately put roadblocks up in front of people, particularly poor people, it deserves a spotlight and deserves some action and some reaction. So
and that, like the word reaction to it, because that's absolutely true. So tell us what we're going to do today is kind of just take an overview of where we are on this issue in the short period of time that it's almost short period of time that we've been on the air discussing it all.
And so in many states, they are looking at or trying to pass moratoriums. In other cases, you know, like New York, they have actually, in New Jersey, they have, you know, a moratorium where they actually have ruled the death penalty unconstitutional by their own high courts and legislatures. So there is some momentum going around this thing. And then in the case of Reggie Clemens, I mean, we just finished or are finishing a phenomenal month with a flurry of activities. Some of them were sponsored by the campaign, others by other organizations who've been supported. But, you know, we really kind of kicked off the month with Clemens on Campus, where we challenged the campuses in the metropolitan area to come on board. And you had Nakia Paulette from UMSL who's helping to coordinate that. And right now we have students from Webster University, from University of Missouri, from St. Louis University, from Washington University, a part of the not Harris-Stowe, because one of the things that the students were saying was that they were told they couldn't collect signatures there. So
they were told that from who?
The administrator, because it allegedly state property, and it's called a solicitation. So we really,
at our brand new Harris-Stowe University.
Yeah, so that was kind of disappointing for them. But you know, one of the things we said is there's some other ways to be creative about getting that. So so they're going to work with that. But that was one of the ones, of course, our historically black college, that we would expect them to have full support for this. So, but these are the kind of issues that bubble up when you sort of mm-hmm. roll out a campaign like that, because then it means that there's another issue down the line that's you may right. have to address.
And that's a, you know, and that's another thing for the students to take on, because that doesn't sound right to me. That does not sound right that is a legitimate. It's, in fact, there was a black university, I think, somewhere in the East Coast where some students were trying to protest the war. And they were terrorized by the university, a black university, for protesting against the war. So that heads up, you know, heads up, and y'all need to talk about that and deal with that.
Exactly. So they're dealing with that issue, and hopefully they can mount enough of a creative network where they still can find ways to get signatures, whether it be wherever those folks hang out or whatever. So, you know, the students are engaged, and we know they're entering to their final season, so mm-hmm. we think it'll probably start to wind down, but we encourage them to keep it up at least to the end of the month.
month. And then, of course, we had the 15th anniversary of the Chain of Rocks Bridge tragedy. We're like, you know, you can run, but you can't hide. And really, he's going to have to come to grips with what he's done, not only in this case, because there's, you know, many cases that Nels Moss is responsible for. And, you know, one of the things that we're not finished with Nels Moss is that if you had a loved one who had to experience, you know, Nels Moss's prosecution, get in touch with us, because we really want to begin to sort of piece together what's going on.
It's a trail of tears. I mean,
it is.
It really is. And what's the number where people can do that?
They can call 367-5959.
And if I can underscore just for a second, Jamala, the significance of prosecutors in death penalty cases. There was one prosecutor in the county of St. Louis I will never forget, who was Catholic, and he said he did not, you know, he could not support the death penalty, but his office pursued the death penalty. It was a practice of his office, and he was assigned a death penalty case. And I remember during the death penalty phase of the case, he stood up and he said to the jury, "Do what you think is right." And he sat down. And, of course, the jury did not return a verdict of the death penalty. And why? Because of what the prosecutor did. And it's always been a mystery to me to where within yourself do you have the energy and the ability to look people in the eye and tell them to kill another human being. And the lawlessness of what Nels Moss did and what other prosecutors do, it's just kind of this twisted irony of you're executing somebody because it's illegal to kill somebody, but yet you're engaging in illegalities to get somebody else to kill somebody.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's ironic as well as hypocritical. And I think for Nels Moss, one of the things that I'm finding out and looking at the few cases that the Organization for Black Struggle is working on is that there seems to be a connection with getting convictions for people that he thinks are innocent. Now, that sounds totally sick, but that's the link that we're finding. So it's not a big deal to convict somebody who's obviously guilty. That's not a challenge.
Well, there's not a thrill.
So what you have is you go after the folks that you think are innocent, and look what you have to show at the end of that process. I mean,
what kind of monster do you have to be?
When it hit me that is what it was looking like as I looked at the cases, I'm like, this is a pathological person.
This is Jeffrey Dahmer has nothing over him.
No.
Jeffrey Dahmer has nothing over that type of a mindset. Because clearly, in this case of the Chain of Rocks, he knew. He knew from every piece of fiber in his body that these boys didn't do this. He knew who the guilty person was, and he pursued it in the complete opposite with all of the vigor and all of the self-righteous fury and all of the anger that prosecutors use to get people to kill, get juries to kill people.
Yeah, and one of the other things that if you look at the cases that prosecutors take on, there's generally an election or some kind of motivating factor for them to take on a high-profile case and try to win it. I mean, people are saying that, obviously, about the rape case in North Carolina, that prosecutor is also up for re-election. And so
his thing is to appeal to the black community by prosecution.
But historically, Jamala, it's not the black community that prosecutors appeal
can cater to,
in order to get elected.
It
is not the black folks that they cater to. It is
because, they say whether this pans out or not, because as a black woman, she needs to have the funds to get to college. She needs not to have to engage in this kind of a profession, be forced into that profession so that she can send herself to school. So, I mean, I have to give him props for that.
Absolutely.
Because this never would have been happening.
Absolutely.
If she had the funds. Then it goes actually back to the kind of policies of the Bush administration in terms of cutting, you know, the monies to higher ed. And so, as we always talk about, all these things are interrelated. So,
again, the fury that we're seeing is the same type of fury directed at Reggie, the fury from the defense, the fury of the defense saying, we want to know the background of this woman. We want to know all of her the fury and I also saw something that I've never seen before. I saw people, news commentators joking. But news commentators, not news reporters, not a sports guy or something like that. News commentators joking about this case on television. Never seen that before. But it's that same, we don't have to adhere to any kind of humanity because the victim is a black woman, and the accused are unearned privileged white young men.
And I never heard any such behavior in the case of the Holloway missing person, that they referred to her or joked about that case. I mean, it's, you know.
What was she doing down there? What was she doing down there? She went down, and I wouldn't let my daughter do that. I would not let my daughter go unaccompanied to a place like that at that age for the purpose that she was going there for.
But keep in mind that every time somebody goes there to start to look at that, they're immediately, you know, chopped off at the knees, and her name and her image is elevated. And so I think it really does speak to the devaluing of black life. And it goes directly back to why we still have the death penalty.
Mm-hmm.
There's a disproportionate amount of black people and Latinos who have received the death penalty. And so for us, that's a greater call for us to get involved and to begin to talk to other people and really bring the death penalty to an end. So, you know, we kept going throughout the month, and on the 7th, the Catholic bishops issued a statement. The 7th of April, because that was Good Friday, and that is a tremendous.
What was the statement?
The statement basically said that the death penalty needs to end.
Mm-hmm.
It was inhumane, and if they, in fact, were going to continue to promote the sanctity of life, as they do in the case of being against abortions, that had to be extended in a very clear way to the death penalty.
Now, my question, Jamala, is that, okay, I don't know what church she would worship at.
Mm-hmm. So, no, I haven't read the full text of the statement. I have a summary, and I don't know that it goes that far, but it seems to me if you're making a comparison of abortion and the death penalty, and you're going to deny that because of people's support for choice, then it seems to me that
you got to do it,
to be fair and to be
consistent. We got to take a break. I'm talking to Jamala Rogers. We're talking about justice for Reggie. We're talking about the death penalty. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Please stay with us.
Fill Up Your Life giveaway. You could win Honda motorcycles or personal watercrafts or instantly win free quality Pro Clean gasolines. Visit fillupyourlife.com today. Life happens between empty and full. Connect Care. Still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we take our commitment seriously. Our connection to the community is not just providing superior specialty care. Our connection is not just providing world-class urgent care at our Smiley Urgent Care Center. Keeping our connection to the community is something we do every single day. From our free clothes closet for our patients, our breast cancer support group, our nationally recognized celebrity senior program, or the fact that we're home to the Ryan White HIV/AIDS program. Keeping connected to the community matters to Connect Care.
Hi, I'm Vicki Pimentel, inviting you to join me Friday nights here on WGNU for a little sports talk. We'll drop the gloves, scuffle a bit, and in the end, line up and shake hands. Well, maybe not line up and shake hands.
Who's the hero where you work? The receptionist that can balance 12 things at once? The whiz kid that can change a toner cartridge without making a mess? The assistant that finds everything you misplace? Well, now it's your turn. All you have to do is drop your business card at the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, 9449 Olive Boulevard, and you could be the next WGNU Workplace Hero. We'll draw a new winner every week beginning Friday, March 10th, and you'll be the hero of your workplace on Monday when we deliver a basket full of assorted goodies from Great Harvest Bread, Thomas Premium Blend Coffee, and WGNU Radio. Contest ends May 29th, 2006. Employees of WGNU Radio and contributing sponsors not eligible. One prize per employer, please. So go ahead, be a hero. Visit the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store at 9449 Olive Boulevard. Leave a business card and that's it. You could be the next WGNU Workplace Hero. Sponsored by the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, Thomas Brand Coffee, and AM 920 WGNU.
Good morning, St. Louis. 33 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with Sour Traffic and Weather. Sour Traffic is sponsored by the Home Depot. Southbound Grand is closed between Shenandoah and Magnolia due to an earlier 4-alarm fire and condo complex. Northbound lanes are all open. Northbound 55 at Green Park. All roadways are reopened after an earlier disabled vehicle was blocking the left lane. Southbound 270 at Marshall and 44, look for an accident. The right lanes are blocked. Traffic is backed up through in the right lanes through Big Bend. Southbound 270 at 70s. And then on Saturday, showers and thunderstorms are likely with a high in the mid-60s. Currently, we have 48 degrees at Lambert Field under clear skies. Right here at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 47 degrees. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. What's up next? We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Need cash today? Visit mousecash.com without delay.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears. Where else?
Where else are you going to get your washers, your dryers, your big screen televisions, your refrigerators, your stoves, your television sets? Come on, your tractors, your lawnmowers. You're going to get it over to Sears. Why? Because it's the only full-service Sears in the entire city of St. Louis. You need to get to Union and Natural Bridge. My name is Liz Brown. When you get on over to 3425 Union to get your shop on, you tell Jerome Williams, I told you to.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. Thursday morning at 9, the wake-up call welcomes Dr. Larry Burns, Director of the Council on Hemispheric Affairs, for a discussion on the recent elections in Peru. The Bush administration wants to set up a free trade agreement with that country, but does not want provisions for labor rights as part of the agreement. The economy is the driving force behind what the voters wanted, and American policies toward Latin and South America have helped to create the hardships in many of those countries. We'll discuss what the outcome in Peru could mean for the entire region, Thursday morning at 9 on The Wake-Up Call.
Hello, Tip. This is Pastor Ray Higgins, and I would like to invite you to tune in to the On One Accord broadcast every Sunday morning from 6 to 8:30 a.m. for the best in liberated gospel music, live talk radio, and powerful messages about truth and right spirituality. Join me right here on WGNU 920 a.m. every Sunday morning from 6 to 8:30 a.m. and let's set our people free. Hotep.
The Alton Little Theater in Illinois presents Over the River and Through the Woods beginning on Friday. Showtimes are 8 p.m. Tuesday through Saturday and 2 p.m. on Sundays. Tickets are $12 for adults and $6 for students. For information, call 618-462-6562. Theater news to you from WGNU.
Praise the Lord, everyone. This is the Elder Mitchell Thornton of the All Request Sweet Sounds of Music. We bring you the best gospel sounds in St. Louis, as well as the up-to-date church news. We help you plan your weekend worship every Saturday morning from 7:30 a.m. to 8 a.m. right here on WGNU 920 on your
LizBrown.com. That's L-I-Z-Z. The Wake Up Call's 2006 intern program begins May 30th and concludes in September.
Don't forget, MelsCash.com.
The people, the issues affecting your life, right here, right now, on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Shadows are falling all over town. Another night in this blues got me down. Oh, misery, I sure could use some.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to Justice for Reggie. And before I get back to my conversation with Jamala Rogers, the campaign coordinator for the Justice for Reggie campaign, I want to let you know about an opportunity. This Saturday from 4 to 9 p.m., the people's lawyer, Chiwake Lumumba, will speak on injustice in America from the courtroom to Katrina at the Muhammad Academy at 3526 Garrison and Natural Bridge. The special guest speaker will be Dr. Imari Obadeli. This timely event is sponsored by the Provisional Government Republic of New Africa. The cost is $25 and it includes a dinner. Tickets are available at Ujamaa. I'm sorry. At the same price at the door. For more information, information. The number to call is 839-0422 or 868-6846. That's 868-6846. Despite my messing up the bookstore's name, this is a very important event. And I think it's a timely event from injustice in America, from the courtroom to Katrina. Isn't that timely?
That's timely. And Chokwe Lumumba is an attorney that's practicing in Mississippi who was temporary. He's been suspended from practicing for talking back to a white judge.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got some stories to tell, and he's dealt with some death penalty cases, and so he's a very committed brother. So I'm glad to see him coming back to St. Louis.
Very good. And again, it's always wonderful to go out and to hear inspirational speaking, because it takes you to another place and it connects you in a wonderful, wonderful way. So we were talking about what is going on with the death penalty, the amazing month of April.
The amazing month of April kept moving on, and we had a challenge to Michael Taylor, who had got his death date on February 1st and got a stay of execution. You know what it is in Missouri. They don't even, like, publicize it. Mm-hmm. It's not in a written form. So one of the things that the attorneys for Reggie Clemens has tried to do is to get that piece of information and to find out who is in assistance, you know, in terms of medical profession. None of that is known to us. We can't even get that information from the state about how the process works. But what we do know is that the 3-drug cocktail that they use is unnecessary. I mean, first of all, you have the first drug, which is the anesthetic, and then you have the second drug, which is it paralyzes the body. And one of the main reasons that this drug was added, or in some cases included, is because the person that's strapped to that gurney can't do anything. They are paralyzed to even call out, blink their eyes, even if the second drug or the third drug is not working or is painful. So what we have in this case is so that the people witnessing an execution don't have to see eyes popping out, people foaming at the mouth, the sizzling of people's hair as you would with the gas chambers or with the electric chair. Now you're sitting watching somebody completely still that you think is not in pain, and we're finding out that that's not the case.
Which, so that makes it even more remarkable when people say, I saw bodies twitching.
Right. Right.
You know, what on earth must be happening if their bodies are twitching as anesthetized as they are?
Exactly.
Or supposed to be.
Exactly. And so that third drug, which is the potassium chloride that causes a cardiac arrest, is so painful that it's been prohibited from being used by veterinarians on animals. So why would we say that this is a more humane way of killing somebody when all of the evidence, as people begin to look at it, simply is not true?
And we also, there is a little thing called the Constitution and cruel and unusual punishment. We are supposed to be a nation that is constitutionally founded, we're founded on this concept, and we're constitutionally precluded from doing that, no matter how much of you want to get it on, how many of you want to say that it doesn't matter. Our Constitution says that we are prohibited from engaging in cruel and unusual punishment. And in the times of medicines that we're in right now, we know better. We have the ability to know better. And since we have the ability to know better, we have to do better.
Right. Right. And in the fact that, you know, in California, in the Morales case, that the doctors, you know, stood down and refused to participate, I think we'll see that across the country, because even though the Hippocratic Oath is not a law, it still is a code that doctors
at 10 on AM 920 WGU, where we discuss what matters most to you.
Hi, my name is Cheryl.
Hi, my name is Doe.
And we are the hosts of the new Primetime Life talk show on WGNU.
Do you have a question that you've been dying to ask a private investigator?
We will take your questions and discuss topics that you won't want to miss every Monday night at 10.
Need to get a background check?
How do you protect yourself when looking for Mr. and Mrs. Wright?
Can't find someone that owes you money?
Find out how on Crime Time Live, Monday nights at 10.
Need cash today? Visit mouthcash.com without the limit.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Chicago. The National Association of Black Journalists says the refusal of American newspapers to hire more black reporters is extremely disappointing. The group cites a new study by the American Society of Newspaper Editors that indicates more papers than ever before have no journalists of color working for them, even though the management of those papers continues to pontificate their views about a diverse workforce. And Dateline Charlotte, the Duke University lacrosse player who has been charged with raping an exotic dancer has now been ordered to stand trial in Washington on a separate assault charge. 19-year-old Colin Finnerty was originally charged with assaulting a man who had told him and two of his other friends to stop calling him gay and other derogatory names. It was a simple assault case that would have been dismissed with community service if he'd stayed out of trouble, but the rape charge has now violated that agreement. He's now facing up to 6 months incarceration and a $1,000 fine if convicted on that Washington incident. Finnerty and another of his lacrosse teammates have been indicted on rape and kidnapping charges in connection with events at a party on March 13th in which a woman who was hired as an exotic dancer says three men raped her in a bathroom at the off-campus house where the party was held. Monitoring and administrative tasks. Effective skills to carry out these duties include word processing, data entry, electronic communications, online research, and public speaking. Interns will work up to 15 hours per week. Students who wish to obtain course credit will have the wake-up call's full cooperation in meeting institutional requirements. Intern applicants may reply to 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's LIZZ. The Wake Up Call's 2006 intern program begins May 30th and concludes in September. What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning Wake Up Call, Liz Brown.
One mile.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to Justice for Reggie. I am here with Jamala Rogers. We're talking about the death penalty. Let me get to a caller or two. Christine, you have a question or comment?
I have both. I'd like to know, what is Reggie's website?
It's www.justiceforreggie.com, and that's all one word.
And there's no Yahoo in there anywhere?
No, the email address is justiceforreggie@yahoo.com, but the website is www.justiceforreggie.com.
Is that a four also, or just the number four?
No, it's written now, four, F-O-R.
Okay.
And it, actually, if you put Reggie Clemens in, you could probably get the link to his site.
If you Google them.
Yeah, if you Google them.
Okay, one of you made the comment that it might be a janitor, might be given the lethal injection, and you might be right, because only in Missouri is where in the death chamber they run that tubing from the patient out of the room and down the hall somewhere to a private facility.
Exactly.
Or room. So there might be a janitor there administering the lethal injection.
Thank you so much.
Yeah,
and that's not to disparage what a custodian does, but it's just to underscore the fact that there is so that it appears that there is so little concern about who does this, that there could be somebody that is completely removed from the world of medicine, someone like the person that cleans the office.
Right, and I think Christine brings sponsored a lobby day last week. We went to Jeff City and, interacted with our legislators. And for the most part, I think the black legislators do oppose the death penalty, but it's got to be so many more there. And basically, those bills were sat on because of that there's an upcoming election. The mm-hmm. white Republicans didn't really want to mess with it this time around. So they have to feel heat from their constituents that this is something that we think is important. There is no downside to a moratorium because prosecutors can still ask for the death penalty.
Mm-hmm.
So you just won't do it during that period. So it's nothing wrong with study, and we need to do that for the state of Missouri. And then we really want to take the momentum coming out of April, and we just found out last week that Danny Glover wants to come to St. Louis to show his support for Reggie Clemens, and he's coming on Wednesday, May 10th. We don't have a site yet, but we want people to mark their calendars Wednesday, May 10th. It'll be an evening program, and we want people to come out and show Danny Glover, our support for the Reggie Clemens case.
And let me get to another caller or two. James.
Liz, I have reasons to believe that there's a possibility that administering the death penalty.
A dentist, uh-huh. Okay.
I have reason to believe that, yes.
All right, thank you, James.
Yeah, bye-bye.
And again,
and this could be the reason why it's so hard for us to get it, because when we find out who it is, we're probably going to be shocked.
Mm-hmm.
We're probably going to be shocked. I mean, in most other states, they do have a written protocol. We don't even have a written protocol. Even if they didn't want to deal with who the people are who are administering the drugs for fear of retaliation from whoever, it ought to be someplace written down
that people can go and say, here's the process Missouri uses. We don't have it.
And why are you hiding it?
Yeah.
Why are you hiding it? Well, you know, unless you're doing something wrong with it. So we have two more minutes here, Jamala. Give us some, you have some update, I mean, some upcomings for us?
The upcoming, the big one, of course, is going to be Danny Glover coming to town. Mm-hmm. And we hope people will come out, and we really are, you know, stepping up the petition campaign. We have some time now to do all of that because until there's some kind of resolution on the Michael Taylor case, there will probably be no execution schedule. So that's a good thing, and that's why we need to be supporting slowing this.
Was shot and was killed tonight.
Another oil company is making it big off the skyrocketing price of oil. ExxonMobil earned nearly $8.5 billion in the third quarter. Yesterday, Conoco announced big profits, and analyst Paul Sankey at Deutsche Bank isn't the least bit surprised.
We've had a very high, almost record oil prices. We've had very high, almost record gasoline prices here in the U.S., and that indicates that you're likely to get record profits for the oil companies.
The Senate may be trying to ease your pain at the pumps a bit. The Finance Committee wants to look at the big oil's tax returns, and some GOPs are calling for $100 gas rebate checks. A bipartisan government panel thinks FEMA is a disaster, and the only thing to do now is to blow it up and start again. The White House doesn't agree. Here's ABC's Ann Compton.
The White House has no appetite for moving FEMA again.
Our view hasn't changed, and we support it being where it is.
Press Secretary Scott McClellan says FEMA operations have been strengthened since the hurricanes. There was a huge debate in Washington after September 11th. That's when FEMA was brought into the Homeland Security Department, and that's where the president thinks it should stay. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
3 days haven't done it, and neither will a fourth. Jurors in the sentencing trial of Zacharias Moussaoui are off today. One of the panelists is sick. He's trying to decide if the admitted Al-Qaeda member, the only person charged in the 9/11 attacks here in the U.S., should get life in prison or the death penalty. New York City is taking a big step in healing after the attacks. Construction on the Freedom Tower begins today with a special ceremony at Ground Zero.
The formal agreement won't be signed until September. It will take 5 years to build the Freedom Tower at a cost of more than $2 billion. And it will be more than a year before another corner of the site is cleared to start building two additional office towers.
ABC's Lisa Colagrossi in Lower Manhattan. The Dow is down 48 points in early going. Genetics. The World Health Organization says for the first 5 years or so, growth in children worldwide is determined more by environmental factors, things like nutrition or health care, than DNA. The verdict's been read, but we still haven't heard the last of everyone involved in the Da Vinci Code trial, and that includes the judge. Here's ABC's Tom Rivers.
Judge Peter Smith's 71-page written judgment released 3 weeks ago holds more than first meets the eye. Woven into the decision that favored author Dan Brown are cryptic clues in the form of italicized letters that at first glance looked like mere typos. But the first string of seemingly random letters operator spell out the words Smith code. After that, the message gets a lot tougher. Attorneys on both sides of the Atlantic are now feverishly trying to decipher it. Tom Rivers, ABC News, London.
This is Take Our Daughters and Sons to Work Day. No kids, take your dog work today. It's in June. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, a man faces charges for a deadly crash in February in Jefferson County. Curtis Strawn is charged with involuntary manslaughter, second-degree assault, and driving while intoxicated. Authorities say Strawn was drunk when he crossed the center line of Highway 30 in Dittmer on February 28th and collided head-on with another car. The crash killed 34-year-old Rachel Cates and seriously injured her 9-year-old daughter. Make sure you are vaccinated for the mumps. That's the message from Dr. Dolores Gunn, the director of the St. Louis County Health Department, following an upswing of mumps cases in Missouri. Gunn says she is concerned about an outbreak in the St. Louis area.
Well, at this point, as far as we're concerned in our particular region, we are concerned because we're seeing higher numbers than we've seen in many years, in over 20 years. And we would like to make sure that people are doing basic precautions.
Gunn urges people to get two shots for the mumps instead of just one. While no cases have been confirmed in St. Louis City or County, there are more than 40 cases of the mumps in Missouri. Symptoms include fever, chills, and swollen glands around the neck. Local medical leaders want the public to urge Congress to act on the health coverage problem in the United States. Officials and residents put out that call at yesterday's St. Louis County kickoff for Cover the Uninsured Week. 80% of the uninsured are employed or have a family member in the household who is employed. Nearly 46 million Americans are uninsured, including more than 700,000 Missourians. Cover the Uninsured Week takes place nationwide from May 1st through May 7th. Finally, this hour, more than 100 kids will explore the Barnes Jewish Hospital operating room this morning. The children and grandchildren of Barnes doctors, nurses, and surgical service personnel will get an introduction to their parents' and grandparents' careers as part of Take Your Kids to Work Day. The children will learn how to scrub for surgery, dress in surgical scrubs, learn how operating room equipment works, and even learn how to sterile process and wrap a chocolate bar. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by the Illinois Lottery. There's a new game to play and more ways to win with four new pick-and-play games, Monopoly, Poker, Lucky Dough, and Bingo from the Illinois Lottery. See retailer for details. Have a ball. Play responsibly. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock today, AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Six Flags St. Louis. Southbound Grand and get a bonus friend in free. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. Sunny with a high around 70. Mostly clear this evening with a low around 50, and on Friday, partly sunny in the morning. Mostly cloudy throughout the day with a high in the lower 70s. For Saturday, showers and thunderstorms are likely with a high in the mid-60s. Currently, we have 48 degrees at the studios of AM 920 WGNU under clear skies. Lambert Field is also reporting 48 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
The wake-up call is seeking volunteer student interns for media research, publicity, and radio production. Interns will have a chance to develop writing, research, and public relations skills, as well as gain broad knowledge of both corporate and independent media. Educational background should include public administration, journalism, or the social sciences with emphasis on political science. Duties include research, web support, media monitoring, and administrative tasks. Effective skills to carry out these duties include word processing, data entry, electronic communications, online research, and public speaking. Interns will work up to 15 hours per week. Students who wish to obtain course credit will have the wake-up call's full cooperation in meeting institutional requirements. Intern applicants may reply to 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's L-I-Z-Z. The Wake Up Call's 2006 intern program begins May 30th and concludes in September.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. We have much to talk about. One of the things that I always try to do on this show is to make the connect, between what is happening in your world here as we live in the United States and the connection between what is happening with the rest of the world. And these are amazing times that we are living in, amazing times that we are living in. And I also think that these are times that it appears that more and more people are, at least people in the United States, are understanding that there is a larger world, and what we do does impact on the rest of the world. While we struggle in this country with the impact of a lawless occupation of Iraq, when we in this country struggle with an administration that is tone deaf and
single-minded on their agenda. An administration that is pulling us into a place that most Americans did not ask to go. When you have an administration like that, there are ripple effects all across the world. And one of the interesting places where we're seeing the ripple effect of those actions is all throughout Latin America. And we need to talk about the impact of elections in Latin America. What does that have to do with the United States? What does that have to do with us? How does that impact on us? We're going to have that discussion this hour. And to facilitate that discussion, I have joining me from Washington, D.C., is Dr. Larry Burns, the director of the Council of Hemispheric Affairs. Good morning, Dr. Burns.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm delighted to speak with you.
It's wonderful to have you here. As you heard, we always like to make the connect between the rest of the world and the United States, and the United States and the rest of the world. It is seismic. It is huge what is happening in Latin America right now, isn't it?
It certainly is. And you can go a bit further and tie that up with the whole immigration debate. During the 1980s, there were fierce civil wars in Central America, in Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, and Nicaragua. These wars were largely fueled by the Reagan administration, under its view that a vast conspiracy existed, authored from Moscow, where supplies and directions were funneled through Cuba and then to the mainland of Central America. Now, during this period, there were hundreds of thousands of people were killed in brutal massacres of civilians. A number of these countries, American military advisors, like in El Salvador, played a plenary role that was exhausted. Put that together with the Mexicans, many of whom felt, they said, hey, you know, I look at the map and I see Arizona, and I see New Mexico, and I see California, and I see Texas, and I see Utah, and I also, in my mind, see the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo, which was imposed upon Mexico in the War of 1848, where all those territories were stripped away from Mexico and grabbed up by President Polk at the time. And in fact, it was justified in congressional debates in which Abraham Lincoln was in Congress at the time and voted against these measures. But it was justified by saying we're doing Mexico a good service, because with the excision of these territories away from Mexico to the United States, the remaining territory of Mexico will be closer to Mexico City, and thus it will be more effectively governed by the Mexicans. So we did them a favor.
They don't need all that land.
They don't need all that land. Of course, Mexico was very corrupt at the time, and after the war was over, a very corrupt president of Mexico sold additional territory to the United States called the Gadsden Purchase, which included Nevada and Arizona and other pieces of real estate. So what we have here is the United States has a relationship with Latin America, a relationship supposedly based on good neighbors, but in actuality, a relationship based upon asymmetry. That is, one very big country, the biggest, most powerful country in the world in terms of power, and the rest of Latin America in terms of power, very small. And this incongruity between the United States and the rest of Latin America helped to stage the present situation where, due to the war in Iraq and other events, the United States has never been less popular in Latin America than it is today. That is, in poll after poll, 85% of the population said they oppose U.S. policy in Iraq. And a similar percentage said if they could vote in the United States, they would have voted for the other guy, not President Bush.
Whoever that other guy was.
Right.
And this is the worst than that it has ever been. In terms of their view of us.
Yes, it is. And for example, you can just do little sound bites and see what people are saying. For example, the new president of Bolivia, Evo Morales, said of the United States, "We want a good relationship with Washington, but one not based upon submission, but based upon full sovereignty." This is exactly what the presidents of Brazil and Uruguay and Argentina, Paraguay, and to an extent Ecuador, and maybe Peru, because an election is to take place, a runoff election is to take place shortly in that country.
Well,
these are all people of the left. In other words, there's been a vast turn about in Latin America.
A seismic shift. This is a seismic shift.
It is. In every one of these elections that has taken place in the last year and a half, have either resulted in the victory of anti-U.S. left-of-center governments. Even in Costa Rica, which was a loyal servitor of Washington, the candidate, Oscar Arias, who was running as a very pro-American in favor of the Central American Free Trade Agreement in that country, which has been debated whether it's going to be ratified or not. But in that election, the opponent, who was supposed to lose by 20 points, actually lost by only several thousand votes in an extremely close race, based upon the fact that people are disenchanted with the quality of leadership offered from Washington to the rest of the hemisphere.
Well, Dr. Burns, is it just George W. Bush, or are there other factors that it's almost like the perfect storm of issues gathering together? Is it CAFTA and George Bush? Is it the Monroe Doctrine and George Bush? Or is it just George Bush?
Well, I'm glad that you used the phrase perfect storm, because the author of that book was an intern at my organization. I see you are having your own intern program.
Yes, I am.
We're right now accepting almost 30 interns, several of them from Washington University in St. Louis.
Very good.
Well, who is to blame? Well, first of all, this is not a sectarian matter, because much of the blame goes back to the Clinton administration in the early years of that administration, when, with the relationship with the indigenous this, be it the rebuilding of the Latin American military, with which Defense Secretary Rumsfeld is lamentably urging this country to do. It was all seen as a function of U.S.-Cuban relations. And the administration also appointed not career Foreign Service people or solid Latin Americanists from the outside, but they selected a person named Otto Reich, who was so controversial with the Congress, including Republican senators like the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, Richard Lugar, that he couldn't get confirmed by the Senate to be, you know, we're talking about a man who was appointed to be Assistant Secretary of State for Latin America by Bush. And as a result, he was given a recess appointment by Bush, which could only last for a year. And when he went out, he was replaced by another equally hard right-line conservative named Roger Noriega. And this, the policy followed by these two people was so insulting to Latin America. That is, they basically said, you either join the coalition of the willing, or we're not giving you any aid. Secondly, Secretary of State Powell called up both the president of Mexico and the president of Chile and asked them to withdraw their ambassadors from the United Nations because each of these people had given a very strong anti-U.S. speech attacking the invasion of Iraq. And you also have a situation where the ambassadors, U.S. ambassadors to Bolivia and to El Salvador and to Nicaragua all walked in and spoke to the presidents of those countries and said, listen, we believe in free and fair elections, but if the wrong candidate wins, irrespective of whether he's a Democrat or not, we're going to cut off all aid to you.
Mm-hmm.
And
these are the words out of the ambassador's mouth.
These were statements by this Manuel Rocha, the ambassador, U.S. ambassador to Bolivia, to the U.S. ambassador to Managua in Nicaragua, and the U.S. ambassador to El Salvador. I mean, it was a policy of, you know, like the Roman Empire. You would march in and instruct the helot what is the chore for the day. And it simmered in Latin America, absolutely simmered.
Mm.
And it reached the point now that these people, for example, to show you how estranged Latin America is, a number of months ago, a rather pro forma, rather unimportant summit conference took place in Brazil under the aegis of the Brazilian government. It was a meeting of the leaders of Arab countries and Latin American countries. And the United States, as a kind of rootless activity, requested observer status at that meeting. The United States was not a guest, it was all Latin America. Brazil turned down the United States.
Wow. I don't
remember a previous occasion when someone was turned down. Also, when the race took place to become the Secretary General of the regional organization, the Organization of American States, the U.S., which has never in the history of this organization, it goes back to 1948, that it never had a candidate win office that the U.S. didn't back. The U.S. backed two candidates, and each one of them lost in the race.
Wow.
This should have been considered to be a
walk in the park.
Exactly.
And we have to take a break. I am talking to Dr. Larry Burns. He is the director of the Council of the Hemispheric Affairs in Washington, D.C. We're talking about Central America. We're talking about U.S. and Latin American relationships. We're talking about the impact of the election in Peru. How is it
you had for breakfast this morning? Do you remember where you're supposed to be this afternoon? Do you remember the first question? Our children, your child, may not. Because every day the chances of becoming a victim of mercury poisoning increase. Mercury poisoning may cause neurological damage that impairs learning, language development, vision, and memory. And mercury itself has become part of our everyday lives, absorbed by certain fish, taken into our bodies, and passed on to our children like a common cold. But you can stop this. Log on to earthshare.org and find out how. Will you remember that? A public service message brought to you by EarthShare of Illinois and the Ad Council.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we take our commitment seriously. Our connection to the community is not just providing superior specialty care. Our connection is not just providing world-class urgent care at our Smiley Urgent Care Center. Keeping our connection to the community is something we do every single day. From our free clothes closet for our patients, our breast cancer support group, our nationally recognized celebrity senior program, or the fact that we're home to the Ryan White HIV/AIDS program. Keeping connected to the community matters to Connect Care. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Hi, this is Brett Rosen with Head Thumping Talk Radio on WGNU. Just letting you know that we are moving to a new time from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. every Thursday morning, dedicated to making you mad or making you think since 1999.
Hi, I'm Randy Grimm. Join me Fridays at 12 noon for Animal Tales on AM 920 WGNU. It's an hour of fur friends and fun as we discuss the issues that matter most to you and your companion animals. Animal Tales every Friday at 12 noon on AM 920 WGNU.
The Wake Up Call is seeking volunteer student interns for media research, publicity, and radio production. Interns will have a chance to develop writing, research, and public relations skills, as well as gain broad knowledge of both corporate and independent media. Educational background should include public administration, journalism, or the social sciences with emphasis on political science. Duties include research, web support, media monitoring, and administrative tasks. Effective skills to carry out these duties include word processing, data entry, electronic communications, online research, and public speaking. Interns will work up to 15 hours per week. Students who wish to obtain course credit will have the Wake Up Call's full cooperation in meeting institutional requirements. Intern applicants may reply to 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's LIZZ. The Wake Up Call's 2006 intern program begins May 30th and concludes in September. Informative, educational, provocative. This
is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. This morning we are discussing the relationships between the United States and Latin America, and we're discussing the election in Peru.
Times are changing because, for example, we have an increasing number of Cuban American students interning with us, and they are all united in a desire to be able to freely travel to Cuba to visit their ancestral homeland and to try to sort of constructively engage in relations with Cubans. And they're denied by U.S. laws. And in fact,
well, whose fault do they, whose feet do they lay that blame?
Well, the blame is entirely blamed on the Bush administration because, in fact, Congress, the House, I think the Congressional Black Caucus took a leading role in this, but the House passed a freedom of to travel legislation a while ago, which was beaten in conference committee. But in both the Senate and the House, there is now a majority of people calling for open trade and free negotiations.
With Cuba.
The fact is that the administration has no case.
But it does serve the propagandistic purpose, doesn't it? I mean, it's great propaganda.
Of course it does. And the administration, what it does is it spends all of its inventive creativity, such as it is, on trying to think up new ways of inflicting hardships on the Cuban population, be it the cutoff of food, cutoff of remittances, coming from Florida, people wanting to see that their relatives are get a little extra something to eat. That the administration, for example, recently, there was a meeting of the Latin American Studies Association. I think it may have been in St. Louis, and the they wanted to bring over some Cuban scholars, these American professors, and they were turned down. And yet, the United States has cordial relations with about 30 countries in the world that are far more excessively violative of human rights than Cuba is. And the irony is that there's a huge prison population of political prisoners in Cuba, but it's not in Havana.
It's not
in Havana. It's in Guantanamo.
There we go. And we put them there. Talk to us about the Peru elections. Why should Americans be watching this election, and what do we take out of the results so far?
Well, what the United States is afraid of is momentum. There's a momentum taking place. It's called the pink tide. Pink because it's really not red at all. It's relatively mild. It's basically Roosevelt New Deal, reformist type of candidates. And these people in election after election, these people are defeating traditional candidates. And so the administration is now very worried. It's very worried because in July, the beginning of this July, there's an election in Mexico where a man named López Obrador, who is the mayor of Mexico City, is right now ahead in the polls. This man is a populist, a nationalist, and he is calling for a kind of real independence. And the United States is very afraid that on its border there's going to be a leftist government. And what this means is that in such international forums as the United Nations and at the Organization of American States and on the international lending agencies like the World Bank and so forth, that there's going to be a block of, including the Caribbean islands, which many of them are like-minded of these governments that are being elected.
But they haven't been that strong.
Well, right. I mean, some of them not. For example,
because we look at what happened to President Aristide.
Exactly.
And finding a home for President Aristide when he was removed by our government from, so we look at that.
Yes. Yes. In fact, you have no idea how interested South Africa is in Aristide, because I regularly do interviews on Aristide for the South African Broadcasting Corporation.
Mm.
Speaking about that, there's a fascinating point. When Evo Morales, the new nationalist populist president of Bolivia,
they're moving also to the beat of their own drum. I mean, this is a collective thinking. This is a new world change for Latin America.
That's exactly the point. The point is, it is the lost opportunities, the misguided politics, the hostile diplomacy.
Mm.
For example, let's look at Hugo Chavez for a moment. Hugo Chavez came into office in 1998. He got around over 60% of the vote. Venezuela at that point had suffered from years of government by the Social Democratic and Christian Democratic parties, corrupt. And one of the real aspects of that even though after World War II and oil was discovered in Venezuela, there was a constant stream of revenue coming in from petroleum. It's interesting that all that money that went into the federal budget was spent on East Caracas, which is the upper class neighborhoods of Caracas, and no money was spent on in the barrios, which is where what are called the pardos, the browns, live, the mestizo black population, which represents maybe 80%.
The people that look like Hugo.
They look like Hugo.
Mm-hmm.
And they look like Hugo, and Hugo came from that kind of background.
That's right.
And what he did was, when he came in, he worked out a deal with...
And I need you to hold that thought, Dr. Burns. I'm sorry. Hold that thought, because we have to take another break. I am talking to Dr. Larry Burns, the director of the Council of Hemispheric Affairs in Washington, D.C. We're talking about Latin America, their policies, what's happening in Latin America. We're talking about the pink tide. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with us.
Steady and strong. It does not know.
Because We Care Draw. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hi, folks. This is Decent Guy Don. Join me at midnight every Monday through Friday, right here on WGNU. Yes, you heard right. Every night at midnight, Monday through Friday. Congress isn't the only group of people up at midnight, don't you know? Now the conspiracy hunter is flying under cover of darkness with night vision at the ready to uncover what's going on in Washington and in world capitals and to discuss it with you. It's information that matters to all of us. Remember, join me at midnight, Monday through Friday, for the Conspiracy Hunter with Decent Guy Don Griffin on AM 920 WGNU, the station with something for everyone, even at midnight. See you then.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
This is Sergeant Gary Wiggert, host of Bad Boys on
F-7 jets, which are basically the Chinese version of Russian MiGs. And Dateline Nairobi. There is public outrage in Kenya this week as the country's members of parliament are seeking to raise their level of pay for travel expenses. This comes at a time when the country is seeking donations from around the world to feed millions of starving residents. Politicians last week put a hold on the national budget in an effort to get what they want. They want an increase in the reimbursement rate of almost a dollar, and they want it to be retroactive to last summer. This is not the first time the government has been criticized for salaries. When President Mwai Kibaki came into office in 2003, the first thing Parliament did was raise their salaries dramatically. Parliament members now make about 400 times what the average citizen gets, and if you add in additional perks, the amount is even higher. Even worse, members of Parliament only met for about 50 days last year, and only 5 pieces of legislation got passed. This is your wake-up call global news update.
Circle the bases with Mike Huss and his panel online at WGNU.net.
Hey, WGNU listeners, this is Keith Gray from Higher Ground. You can hear me from 11 p.m. to 12 a.m. on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. I look forward to talking to you folks.
The Wake Up Call is seeking volunteer student interns for media research, publicity, and radio production. Interns will have a chance to develop writing, research, and public relations skills, as well as gain broad knowledge of both corporate and independent media. Educational background should include public administration, journalism, or the social sciences with emphasis on political science. Duties include research, web support, media monitoring, and administrative tasks. Effective skills to carry out these duties include word processing, data entry, electronic communications, online research, and public speaking. Interns will work up to 15 hours per week. Students who wish to obtain course credit will have the Wake Up Call's full cooperation in meeting institutional requirements. Intern applicants may reply to 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's 367-2743, or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's LIZZ. The Wake Up Calls 2006 intern program begins May 30th and concludes in September. A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I am talking to Dr. Larry Burns, the director of the Council of Hemispheric Affairs. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. Dr. Burns, welcome back. We were in the middle of a conversation about Hugo Chavez.
Right. Chavez is in disadvantaged communities like the Bronx and Boston.
And on the East Coast, absolutely.
That's right. Anyway, Chavez is a kind of a boffo type of guy. He's a bit of a ham, a lot of theatrics.
Has some showman in him.
There's a lot of showman in him. And thus, some of his colleagues elsewhere in Latin America dismissed him as kind of a clown. But then people began to see what was happening there. Now, it is true that Chavez is very confrontational and very contentious, and also makes a tactical error of taking on too many enemies at the same time. That is, within Venezuela, that includes the church, the middle class, the professionals, the labor unions.
My enemy's enemy.
He's not cautious at all. At the same time, he's a real visionary. And at the same time, he's come up with a lot of real effective social reforms, like what he calls missions to the poor, where he opens up subsidized supermarkets. He has brought in 15,000 Cuban
doctors,
health
yes.
workers.
Yes.
He has brought educational and public health provisions and set up university scholarships. And the National Petroleum Company, which has always been government-owned, never provided any resources for poor neighborhoods. So what Chavez did was he used the billions of dollars that were coming in, kind of an oil premium that were coming into the country because of the high price of oil. He didn't waste this on Taj Mahals for himself. Or what he did is he invested this money in social reforms at home and also aid to surrounding countries. Now, the United States condemned him for giving away this money, saying he was trying to buy friendships. Well, the United States has had a program called the AID program since the end of World War II that has given away probably $100 billion in aid in order to win friends and influence people.
Well, Dr. Burns, we have about 4 minutes left here. Can we get back talk about Peru for a second? Because is the nationalist retired military officer or army officer in Peru, is he Hugo Chavez?
We don't know enough about Ollanta Humala yet, because he comes from a kind of murky background.
Because I'm a little concerned. I'm a little concerned about him with his military background.
Well, When Chavez was elected, and he depended so much on his military, he was appointing military officers to high positions in the Venezuelan government. We came out with any number of statements saying that in the history of the world, there aren't many instances where democracy or reformist governments have come out of military establishments. Mm-hmm. That's not exactly how it usually plays out.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought that this was a mistake. Now, Humala does have a military background. He's been accused of, in the early 90s, of violating human rights of some people, some Indians living in the high plateau of Venezuela during the war against the Shining Path, which was a particularly bitter period.
In Peru.
In Peru.
Mm-hmm.
That is, there were three candidates originally running. Mrs. Flores, she was a conservative legislator. Then we had Alan Garcia, who was a previous president and had run as a nationalist originally. But now he ran as a reformed guy who has learned to behave and will seek out cordial relations with Washington. So, Humala got just over 30% of the vote, and the other two candidates got in the 20s. So we now have a runoff, and Garcia against Humala, presumably.
Was shot and was killed tonight.
Abolish FEMA. FEMA is discredited, demoralized, and dysfunctional.
That's what the Senate panel is recommending, Maine Republican Susan Collins.
Our findings are reflected in the very name of the report, A Nation Still Unprepared.